This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored!
Smith corks one into right down the line! It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, Cardinal fans, and welcome to a Tuesday edition of Ruffled Feathers, a sister show from our all of our partners at Two Birds on a Bat, always brought to you from the Patio Studios, the original party place from St. Louis. For St. Louis Cardinal fans everywhere, whether it's pre- or post-game, Patio's is where it's at, I promise you. Get over there and have a good time before, after the games, during the games, if you ain't got tickets, and pay attention to their social media sites as they're having the occasional party over there to have a good time. I guarantee you will. That's Patio's. And as always, brought to you by our good friends at InnovativeCompanies.com. Whether it's residential, commercial, or industrial, that's the name you know and trust. Special thanks, as always, to Randy and Stephanie Green for their wonderful contributions to the community, of course. They do tremendous work, both at their regular jobs and taking care of people out there in need, and means a lot to us to be a part of anything that they're doing. And without them, we couldn't do the show, so we thank them, as always, and remind you to give them an opportunity for your business by checking them out at InnovativeCompanies.com. Construction, heating and cooling, and electric specialty work. Randy's a 35-year experienced second-generation craftsman, just a tremendous human being. I'm telling you, when you meet him, that's the guy you'll want on your side. That's Randy Green with InnovativeCompanies.com. Well, guys, kind of get back on schedule here. It's, I'm sure a lot of people yesterday were like, oh, my God, back to the grind. I know the holidays with the days they fell on. We had a lot of people out there taking a lot of days off. Kids were off school for 2 weeks. I mean, it was crazy, right? But we're going to get back to business here and talk some Cardinal baseball. You know, the interesting part for me is, you know, what is there to talk about? to be frank, I mean, really, what is there to talk about? You know, every offseason is not going to be a home run for sure, but, you know, it just, it's, I don't know that you could call it early. Like, you know, in the past, there was still lots to be done, but, you know, most of the big names are gone, obviously. Not that I thought the Cardinals were in on any of them, but, you know, there's a couple intriguing guys out there that it just doesn't feel like we're going to be involved in. I know a lot of you out there would love to have Josh Donaldson. It just doesn't feel like it's going to happen. There's still a faction of you out there that want Marcelo Ozuna back. That would shock me. But, you know, we'll see what happens. There's still some things that could go on, I guess. I don't know, but it always feels like if there's something going to happen, it would be a trade. There's still plenty of people out there dreaming about Nolan Arenado or Mookie Betts. Dream, dream, dream. Isn't that how the song goes? You know, I'm not the singer. Let's welcome in my partner in crime, Ron Nuttall, and see if maybe he'd like to bust out a rendition of Dream, Dream, Dream. What's going on?
Hey, Jim. Great to talk to you again. I hope you had a great holiday. And I don't think anybody on here wants me to leave my day job to start singing on this podcast.
No? Are
Believe
you sure?
Me. No. Oh, man, no. No. I don't got the pipes, man.
Well, I mean, you know, the Everly Brothers obviously did it better than I just tried to do it. But I was, you know, I didn't prepare properly for that. But no, you know, seriously, that's what it feels like a little bit. You know, hey, listen, I've come to accept it, to be honest with you. And, you know, it makes me wonder if people accept it because that's just who they are, or if they really truly believe we shouldn't do anything. You know, I don't know. I will say that, the team doesn't feel complete to me. But at the same time, maybe it's my willingness to accept it that has me ready to usher in these young outfielders. Let's just see what they can do. You know, I love all the projections. You know, I had mentioned Ben Cerruti on the show not too long ago. I love the fact that he's taken the time to put together these projections. And I know he uses, you know, I can't remember what some of those sites are and stuff. And I know that they have them too, like FanGraphs, and I think it's Steam or something. I don't know, but I love all that stuff. You know, but the reality of it is we don't have any idea. You know, did any of those FanGraphs have Harrison Bader? I'd love to know what those, I'd love to know what they said a year ago before the season started, what they thought Harrison Bader was going to do. That would be an interesting thing for me. Like I would, like I will probably ask Ben to go back a year and tell me what the numbers said Harrison Bader was going to do last year. I would find that interesting.
Yeah, I believe on most of those, take the time to do it. I haven't, but to look at where some of these guys were projected to be last year. And you mentioned Harrison Bader, and there was an interesting story. And it was, I believe, I'm just going to boil it down to the quote, and I'm going to paraphrase this, but Keith Olbermann, I don't know if it was in a tweet or a show or something he was doing, just basically came out and said that Harrison Bader is not a big leaguer. Took a lot of heat for that. And that was
who said
2019.
That?
Keith Olbermann.
When did he say that?
I think it was in 2018. He was playing late season for the Cardinals, and he made that comment. I believe it might have been on a tweet. Took a lot of heat from a lot of people. And I don't know why. It just, when you mentioned his name, it just reminded me of that. And going in the past and what were people projecting for these guys. It would be interesting. And Ben's the right guy to ask for that.
Yeah, interesting. Okay. Is Harrison Bader a big leaguer in your opinion?
He's going to be and has been, so yes. Now, is he a good or bad one? I think jury's still out somewhat, but he's not one of the young Cardinals I'm most excited to see next year for sure. I love the defense. I love him coming in late in the game as a defensive replacement, a pinch runner. I think that's his best use right now as an everyday starter in center field. No, I'm not that excited to have the reins handed over to him. Not yet.
Exciting for sure. But I get it too. And I just tweeted at Ben. I don't know if he'll do it during the show. I'd be nice if he would. I don't know that he'll have the time, but if he did, I would love for him to shoot that back, because I would be curious. I'd be real curious how it came out. And again, I'm not doing it to be a jerk. I'm doing it because I'm curious how, when they do this, because my follow-up listen, my guess is going to be that obviously he didn't live up to probably live up that. I doubt very much those were his, for lack of a better term, those were his projections. Otherwise, they wouldn't have played him, right?
So I would agree.
So
I mean, he ended up back in Memphis too, right, Jim? So I doubt that was projected.
So I'm curious. Okay, so what were those numbers? And then, is there anything that your numbers would tell you? You know, do we have a reason why? Basically, right? Yeah. Like, what's the I don't know. I would love to know. I mean, I'm very like, I'm really hoping that he sends this back to me while we're on air. I don't know about you, but I know what I also know that you had and I thought it was great. Like, I'm sitting there looking at this last night going, okay, well, Ruffled Feathers is back, so I'm gonna send out. I guarantee you people are pissed, right? Like, it's January, everybody seems to be getting better but us.
Right.
People are upset, so let's let them do it. But then you come out with a really cool poll that I would almost rather talk about your poll than what people are probably upset about, because it's just regurgitating the same shit over and over again. That's kind of how I feel.
Yeah, it is. And you know, looking at it's funny because you go on MLBTradeRumors.com, which in the off season, that's one of the. That's one of my handful of places I typically go to at least once a day to check up on info. So you look at it now, and it's, you're right, Jim, same shit we've been looking at. It's, you know, update on the Marcell Ozuna situation. The Cardinals are one of three front runners. And then you go down, there's nothing since December 26th. So it's been very quiet. And, you know, the same, we could throw the same topic on the table that we had been covering. I'm not sure anybody wants to hear it.
Well, it's the same shit, different day, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the Arenado thing just won't go away, right, until...
Right.
You know, I guess it doesn't go away until it does go away. I'm going to tell you this. Part of it is, and again, I'm not blaming anybody for this, but I've said this once, I'm going to say it again. Somehow, some way, somebody said, and I hate to say this, but I think it was Derek Gould is the one that kind of alluded to this. And I've always said that if a guy like Derek Gould or Rick Hummel are going to bring up names, there's legitimacy to it because they almost go, they almost like won't talk about it if it's a rumor, right? But Derek Gould has mentioned that the Cardinals have this infatuation with Nolan Arenado. My problem with that is that goes against everything, how they act, that they would ever discuss a player, especially a player under contract.
Right.
So my question is, where did this quote-unquote infatuation come from? I've brought it up. Nobody can give me an answer. I've never once heard the Cardinals mention a player's name that was under contract. They very rarely mention a player's name that's not under contract. You know?
Yeah, you typically don't hear that from Mozeliak. You know,
so I have a problem like believing that Mozeliak's in a room with Gould or anybody going, I'll tell you who we really do like, though, is this Arenado cat. Like, I just doesn't, like, you know, I think it's truly the Cardinals talking about the types of players that they like and somebody going, well, I'll tell you who that is. That's Nolan Arenado. You know, I just, and then that makes the fans think, well, the Cardinals are really linked to him because they really like him. Well, guess what? Everybody likes Nolan Arenado. How hard is that to know that everybody likes Nolan Arenado?
Yeah, well, that's true. Everybody who doesn't have Nolan Arenado is interested in Nolan Arenado. I don't care who your third baseman is. So not a
the teams that can't afford him are interested in him. You know what I mean? It's like everybody likes Nolan Arenado.
Yeah, I mean, I know the Angels just signed Anthony Rendon, but
they are interested in Nolan Arenado.
Yeah, they're still interested in him. So hell.
Oh Jesus! But no, I'm kind of like, you know, so let's do it. Let's kind of go two parts here, okay? Let's go two parts. And what we'll do is we'll hit the text line because we do have some people that texted in their ruffled feathers, and some of it's same old, but some of it's creative. So we'll do that. And then we'll talk about your poll because I think it's great and I think it's a neat discussion and we can kind of look at some different things and go from there. Before we hit the text line and kind of see what's on your mind today, we want to remind you guys to check us out at twobirdsonabat.com. Our ask, as always, is to click subscribe to the show. It takes about 30 seconds. It's free. It really helps us have an idea how many of you out there are getting the notification that the show's out when it hits the airwaves before we even post it. So it's good stuff, and we ask you guys to do that. Check out our Two Birds bloggers there as well. Social media is a big part of what we do, so we're going to encourage you to follow us on Twitter, at Birds on a Bat Show. Find us on Facebook, Two Birds on a Bat, type it in, like our page. You guys will have the opportunity to click and invite your friends, which we would love for you to do. If you're a Cardinal fan, a lot of your friends probably are as well. When you see the pinned post, though, that's our show. It's a way to listen to it without going to the website. You just simply click on it. It'll take you there. But when you comment on that, when you like it, and when you share it, it helps the post gain relevance. Plus, it also reaches out to more people, and then hopefully they jump in the conversation, and that's when we have some real fun. And some of you guys do that all the time, and we want to say thank you. Instagram as well, Two Birds on a Bat Show. And, of course, you can find us at lineupmediagroup.fm, home of your radio streaming platform for your mobile device. Download it for free today. As always, we couldn't do the show without our partners, Adam's Smokehouse, Best Barbecue in St. Louis, folks, located on Watson Road. Get over there. They're open till 7 on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. They do the big box lunch orders for work and for big orders if you're separating them out like that. If you need a catering job done, look no further than your friends at Adam's Smokehouse. You guys will enjoy it. It would be an awesome opportunity to get it out there and really excite the people that you're catering for. Also, delivering to certain zip codes if you're lucky. But if not, like I said, I couldn't say enough about getting over there, checking out the atmosphere, being around Mike and his wonderful staff as they do a tremendous job. Once you get in there, the smell will kind of overtake you and you'll be like, man, I'm not sure what to order. Let me tell you, anything you order is going to be good. Try it all at one time or another. pick your favorite, and have a great time. Tell Mike and the gang we said hello. That's Adam Smokehouse, St. Louis. Here's your cue. To my friend, Dr. Kristen Jacobs, check her out at drkristenjacobs.com and her Ooh La La Spa and Anti-Aging Wellness Center. She's there for you and can help with some of the things that you may want to do for yourself. But as always, her commitment is to your skin and wants to remind you that every day is Skin Cancer Awareness Day. Looking forward to having her on here soon, as she loves her Cardinals and she's dealing with a husband that's a Cubs fan. So hopefully they keep it civil in the house here. They've even got both kids. One's a Cubs fan, one's a Cards fan. So always love talking to Dr. Jacobs. Of course, our friends at Gators Baseball Academy as well. Make sure you have your young one working on his game. This is, you know, January and February before the season gets going, especially for high school guys. It's ramped up 100 times over as these kids are really in there working and putting in time. Whether you're in Missouri or Illinois, we have a facility and instructors for you. That's GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. All right, let's go to the text line because we got some people with some ruffled feathers, and maybe you and I can.
Okay.
You know what the truth is? I don't know that we're going to be able to help these people. So let's start with a fun one.
Okay.
That I'll answer because a friend has texted in and said, and of course, this is our Patterson Tire and Service text line. That's Patterson Tire and Service, a whole lot more than a tire store, located at 3718 Highway 111 in Granite City, Illinois. Give them a call, 618-797-6711. You can get a quick quote on tires, brakes, talk to them about what's going on with your car. As they say, since they're a whole lot more than a tire store, they also specialize in automotive repair. Check engine light, doesn't sound right, something going on, you're hearing something, get it in there sooner rather than later and save yourself a few bucks. They're a great family. They've been in that community for a long time. You don't stay in a community for a long time if you're not honest and if you're not taking care of those around you. Give them an opportunity for your business. That's Patterson Tire and Service, a whole lot more than a tire store. So this is a fun one right off the bat, and it did. And to be honest with you, with everything going on, it's something that I'm going to be getting on this week because I don't know if it's going to happen or not just for scheduling purposes. But would you guys happen to know if you're doing the show at the winter warm-up again this year? It was a lot of fun being on that show last year. For those that don't know, we did the show at the winter warm-up last year. I have a friend that owns a memorabilia business, and he asked us and Benji if we would do a show live from his booth. Benji was able to work it out with the Cardinals, and we did it. And let me tell you, it was so much fun because we invited kids to come on, and they actually sat there and talked to Benji about baseball. Now, some of them were younger kids, and they would just look at him, and they were a little starstruck. Some of the older ones had some fun with it. But, you know, it was an absolute blast. And we really – it was kids. We just had kids on. And I got to tell you, man, the winter warm-up with the kids walking around with their eyes wide open and being – it was amazing. It was so much fun. I don't know, but stay tuned is all I can tell you. So I just wanted to address that one because I've gotten a lot of those from people because – if we do it, we may try to set a time and advertise a little bit sooner and have people stop by. So thank you. And nobody sent a name with that, but we will thank them for their text and move on. Okay, from John. I know you guys asked if my feathers are ruffled. Well, they sure are. I'm tired of watching a team like the Reds, and he's got that in quotes, improve. How can the Reds spend money and we can't spend money? My feathers are ruffled. Okay. I'll start. I would be curious to know if the Reds payroll this year is anywhere near the Cardinals with all the money they spent. I am Googling it as we speak. And maybe you know the answer to that question.
I don't. I'm doing the same thing you are right now.
You know, I listen. Here's what I'd say. Is it time to keep up with the Joneses when it comes to spending money? I've said 100 times over, I don't know that you have to keep up with the Joneses, right? What I will say is, yeah, they're not even like they're not even near us yet. You know, I mean, what I'm seeing here now is 110 million. You know, $110 million, you know, you got to remember, they got a few guys that are pretty good, that are young, you know, Amir Garrett's a good reliever for them. This Nick Senzel is going to play for them. No money. Lots of things going on. I'm still looking here. Hell, that includes deferred salaries. Ken Griffey Jr. and Bronson Arroyo are still getting paid.
Bronson Arroyo.
Yeah. Wow. Bronson Arroyo, Freddie Gap. Like, I don't know. Like, this thing's, you know, Joey Votto obviously is making $25 million. Moustakas is only making $12 million. Sonny Gray's making $10 million. Their closer's making $9 million. Eugenio Suarez, you know, one of the best offensive, these are he's an arbitration guy, right?
Right.
Trevor Bauer, $18 million, arbitration guy. Michael Lorenzen, Luis Castillo, who's an ace type guy. He's in second year of arbitration. I mean, he's going to get paid, you know. I don't know what to say. The bottom line is, do you want the Cardinals to do what the Reds did? Do you want them to be irrelevant and spend no money for years and then 1 year just go out and do a bunch of stuff? And the thing is, let's be honest about it. The Reds have went out and done some stuff, and they really haven't spent a ton of money.
No, they haven't.
I don't understand. Like, I'm looking at this now going, wait a minute. We got the Reds winning the World Series here. What did they do? What did they really do? I mean, what they really did was they signed Mike Moustakas, right?
Yep.
Right?
Yep, they got him $12 million.
Okay, what else did they do that were freaking out about the Reds?
You know what? I think people are getting caught up also, Jim, and not just of what they, but how often their name has come up with other guys. Like, we throw Ozuna in there. They're a front runner for him. I think that's what people are picking up on. But yeah, look at it. Reds have made some trades, right? And yeah, you're right. They have a young team, and a lot of these guys are on base salaries or they're in arbitration here. So they're sitting what, roughly, call it $111 million. It's not about not spending enough as much money as the Reds. Okay, maybe you haven't this off season, but geez, look at the whole payroll. I don't quite see it the same way, but I understand where the anger is coming from. We could probably break this down at some other point in time, but like, what is the most improved team in the National League Central right now? And you would have to point to Cincinnati.
Well, okay, let's hang on a second. I'm just gonna say this to you, and you like, let's be honest, right? They got Trevor Bauer last year. Okay, got Trevor Bauer. So they've signed Wade Miley. Cy Miley, I'll call him, I guess, right?
Yep.
They signed Moustakas. See, the Moustakas thing is interesting because I think we all just assume he's going to hit 50 home runs in Cincinnati and it's going to make him hit 275 and play great defense. You know, I guess, right?
I don't know about great defense, but maybe good.
Well,
enough.
We're acting like they're going to win the World Series, right? So. You know,
I'm not sold on that yet.
Well, again, so it's really for me more about the fact that they were kind of they had made some moves before. Like, I think a lot of people like Sonny Gray, whether he's been an up and down guy or not, and you want to count on him is really up to you. I think people obviously believe that Luis Castillo is a young, a rising star in the game as far as starting pitchers are concerned. Trevor Bauer has been a great pitcher, although there's been times he's looked way more than human. Now, right. Suarez is the kind of guy that makes you go, man, this guy's a stud. Now, you hear the name Nick Senzel all the time, and now all of a sudden it looks like there's just going to be a spot for him to play. This Aristides Aquino, pretty darn good, right? Interesting. So, I don't know. I don't know.
At just acquisitions right now, I'd say that. Right now, they've done the most to improve themselves, and the offseason's not over yet. But I'd say up to this point, they're the team that looks a lot better than where they finished up last year.
I'll say this: at the very least, I don't know that they're any. I don't know how much better they are than us, but they're not worse than us, I guess, since we haven't distanced ourselves. So I'll go with that, I guess. How's that? Does that sound okay?
Yeah. I'm kind of with you. I mean, I'm not going to crown them National League Central champions because they signed Mike Moustakas and Wade Miley. You got to admire the youth on their team, and they're showing a lot of promise. They've got pretty solid pitching. And you mentioned that my favorite young guy that they have right now, Suarez. I think he is a stud, or he definitely has a capability of being. I like them. So. We knew they were up and coming, and they've done a little bit more to improve themselves. I do think adding a bat like Moustakas, the left-handed bat like that, in the middle of that lineup, is I see it only making them slightly better. I don't think it pushes them over the hump, but we'll see. But most Red fans are probably pretty happy with this offseason and where the promise they showed last year. So I don't have anything against Cincinnati. I don't really like Joey Votto that much, but
yeah.
I have nothing against Cincinnati.
Okay, here's one. The Cardinals have an obvious need at third base. How in the world can we be ignoring this? Have we all buried our head in the sand? Keep turning the turnstiles. Okay. All right. I'll just say this. I think that you and I and everybody believe we have an obvious need at third base. The powers that be at Busch Stadium don't believe we have an obvious need at third base. Again, we're back to what more is there to say? I really don't know what else to say. You hear all this talk. I just brought up Arenado. You hear all this talk about, you know, could they do this? And then could they convince Carpenter that, hey, look, there's no place for you here to play now. So you're going to need to waive your no trade clause and we'll try to find you somewhere to go. I guess listen, Mo's taken a beating over a couple of contracts in the past. The unnecessary extensions. You know, there's a lot of people out there that are doing their best to look up some stuff and remind us all that Matt Carpenter hasn't been as bad as we would like to believe, and we're all writing him off over a bad few months. Okay. Sounds good. No problem. I got it. Okay. I'm so like I could go like I don't know what to do because here's the thing. If there are numbers out there that would tell me that Carp's not as bad as I think he is, I mean those numbers really freak me out then because he was not good last year.
No.
And if he was good at times, he was ineffectively good. So I don't know. It's just weird. Yeah, I'm going to call it weird because, listen, these people that are tweeting this out, I follow them. Doesn't mean I agree with them all the time, but, man, they work hard like a Ben Cerruti, and I've brought him up now multiple right. times because this guy does a lot of stuff like this, right? And he's one right. of the guys that makes me look at things differently, and I do appreciate that. So when he says Carpenter's better than you think he is and it's not as bad as you think it is, I go, okay, well, maybe I'm wrong, right? I just have a hard time with that one because he just hasn't been good. I don't know. I mean, he was good for, you know, I said it. I think, you know, people want it like, it's funny how for certain players we're willing to go back multiple years or we're willing to do whatever, and certain players it's a what have you done for me very recently. Well, even if you go back another year to Carp, some people want to act like he had a good month. Well, that's not true. I think what he had was an unbelievable month. He had a good month. I think he had an unbelievable month, a really good month, a good month, and then he had a couple that were awful. Like, so yeah. awful that it made the really good month, it really pulled it down to just a... So, you know, but that's why everything's averaged out, right? And the problem is, I don't know if one of your best players can be bad for a whole month like that. It's one thing to be off for a week. I don't know that you can go in the absolute toilet when you're a guy for a month, especially twice in the same season. Yeah. That's hard to do.
Yeah. So I think, you know, just going back to the question, do the Cardinals have a need for a more consistent bat at third base? Absolutely. We all know that. But there, look, he's going to be the guy at third base. Maybe not for the entire 2020 campaign, but to start out, they're going to give him a bit of runway to get himself figured out. And so that's just the reality. Look, Cardinal fans want more production there so badly that we'll kind of convince ourselves that they must be interested in, or there's something close with Arenado, or hell, maybe they'll trade for Chris Bryant, which helps never trade in division. But, you know, that's where these things are coming up. And look, I was an advocate. Like, I would love to have seen Josh Donaldson in on a 2 years, maybe three top. A deal to man third base because I do believe Carpenter is a bench player at this point. And I don't mind him in that capacity. I'd say trade him, but Jim, who's going to want him right now? I don't know. I don't know what you do. You owe him what, $18, $19 million. you're going to have to eat a good portion of that. But who out there needs him? I can't think of one that would give you anything for him.
It would be a pure salary. We're going to do whatever.
Or maybe a bad contract for a bad contract. You know, sometimes you see those things in just a change of scenery. You get a little bit out of the guy you're acquiring. But I'm kind of over this one. I think Josh Donaldson's down to what? Going back to the Braves or the Nats. Carpenter's going to be our third baseman opening day. So, unless he has a catastrophic failure in spring training or he gets hurt, that's what's going to happen. Now, why they won't acknowledge this? I think they have in a way. And I think, you know, didn't we hear John Mozeliak say, you know, part of Carp's problem last year was that he couldn't decide what he wanted to be. Was he going to be a guy that drove the ball up the middle, drove the ball to left and left center more often, or is he going to try to hit for power and pull everything? And he wouldn't make a decision. So I think we've heard him at least claim more than what they ever have in the past. But I think he's going to get one more year. And yes, the front office is crossing their fingers and hoping like hell that he gets himself figured out, that he gets, you know, the 12 inches above his shoulders, something gets fixed there, and he's back to 80% of himself. I'd take at this point.
Our friend was able to send me something that had everything in it that I asked for, and obviously he had through his stuff had him at 259, 328, 421, 749. He was 205, 314, 366, 680. You know, not very good.
Nope.
No, that's concerning. This is a great piece by him, by the way, too, where you look at what, you know, Matt Carpenter obviously didn't come close to snuff, you know. I don't know. Interesting. I love this stuff. So here's the deal. I would say this. I love the projections. I love all the work like that. What is it going to be that makes a guy live up to what it is or not? I don't know. I don't know that you have anything out there that can say this makes me feel more warm and fuzzy about this guy. So I'm going to, no, this is what I'm going to do. All you can do is look at past performance and then make some estimations based off of that, I guess, right? Now, there are certain things that go on in a man's life when it comes to this that has a lot to do with things. The things that you can't possibly know, right? Like, is a guy going through a swing change in the offseason? Has he changed hitting coaches? You know, it's funny. Right. I saw, a lot of, like I said, and I say this lovingly, there is this perception by some that Jeff Albert is in charge of all these guys' swings. It's just not true. It's just not true. Okay. There's this thing that I guess Maddox is in charge of all the pitchers and how it's just not true. It's just not. Okay. I just left Nashville. I was in Nashville for the American Baseball Coaches Association conference this week. I've been going every year for a long time now, and I'm not kidding you. I'm very fortunate to know some very prominent guys that are involved in this. I met every hitting coach, every pitching, they were all there, especially the minor league coordinator guys. I met every one of them this week. It was an amazing experience to sit around and listen to these guys talk about what they really do. I mean, we had a complete conversation about what they really do versus what the public thinks they do. It was an amazing conversation. And here's the interesting thing. Every one of these guys that are doing this now, at some juncture, this is interesting. I mean, I'm going to tell you this because I think this is fascinating. Every one of these guys that are doing this now, not in the too distant past, were the guy that was working with these guys, okay,
mm-hmm.
on the side. Like, for instance, you know, Kyle Bodie from Driveline is now the minor league pitching coordinator for the Cincinnati Reds. Well, he's been working with pro guys in the offseason for years. Trevor Bauer, most notably, right, is like one of his,
yeah.
You know, like I was with Bob Tewksbury, who his famous client was Josh Donaldson. Everybody remembers that story and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, these guys noticeably, like, and would tell you years ago, well, some clubs kind of embrace us. Some clubs don't embrace us, right? Like, they think we're a hindrance. Some clubs welcome us with open arms, blah, 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 right? So now these guys, like the inmates are kind of running the asylum now, because you're going to have a hard time getting a job in the game right now if you're a quote-unquote old-school guy. You just are. It's just really hard. I mean, my cousin has been a hitting coach in the minor leagues for the Pittsburgh Pirates for a long time now. You know, he was a hitting coach. And in the minors, you wear multiple hats, right? He's been with the Pirates for a long time. He was with Kansas City for a little while. That was where he made his big league debut as a player. They were, you know, his crew kind of turned around the farm system in Kansas City. Then they went to the White Sox and turned that around. And then the whole crew went to Pittsburgh, and they were there for a long time. They went through that run of great young players they had, and things have gotten kind of stagnant there. Well, guess where? Guess what? He's going to Korea this year to work on one of the top. He's going to work, like, I guess whatever you would call the major leagues there. He's going to be the hitting coach at the top level there. Okay? But I haven't asked him this because I wouldn't. But the reality of it is I think he's out of a job because he's just been around too long. And I don't know if he's one of these guys. He doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that's all hung up on the new way of data-driven, this is what we're doing. Now, I don't know that for sure. But I know that, like, this was the first, he told me that, you know, it's been the last couple years, if he was going to stay or go, has been a different experience for him. And all these guys now, I mean, it was the most amazing thing this week, watching sessions break out. Like, they have these big, like, this was at the Opryland Hotel. And you ever been there in Nashville, that Gaylord Opryland thing?
I've not been.
It's a city. It's an indoor city, basically, is what it is. Picture four beautiful hotels covered on, like, in the corners, and then covered by an atrium, and then there's just, it's just the most amazing thing you've ever seen. So anyway, so they have these big rooms with like 7,000 chairs in it where they have these main speakers, and then they have this huge exhibit hall. But then these guys, like Justin Stone, all these guys, they break off, like him and Andy Haynes from the Brewers, the Cubs and the Brewers guy, break off, and they're over here having a youth session with it, taking questions, doing Q&A with anybody that wants to ask any question about how to help a young kid actually learn how to hit. I mean, it was amazing. But this whole thing of what's going on and how we get these, like, it's not an easy thing. Like, I don't know how anybody makes any damn projection other than some of this stuff, you're just going to naturally get close because I don't know that you can be that far off. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. I mean, I'm looking at, you know, look at the big contract signing this year, Garrett Cole to the Yankees. You know, he had his breakout, broke out in Pittsburgh. Ended up getting dealt. He's getting closer to free agency. Pittsburgh had to deal with him. But he didn't have a fantastic year before he went to the Astros. He works with another pitching coach, or he changed mechanics, what it was, right? Changing delivery. And look at what has happened. So that's what makes it, we're human beings, and that's what makes project. That's why I don't 100% buy into him either. I'm still amazed at how close they can be at times, but then they're wildly off because there's not a human factor in there that, look, I can change my mind on how I swing. I can change my arm angle. I have. There's so many variables there that I understand that enough, repetitiveness, enough data can give you a very good indication of where somebody's going to be or where you can project. But there's always the human factor that somebody can make a different decision, and then it throws you off. I don't know, Jim. I'd be interested. You know, if somebody has a stack of paper on me and says this is my DNA as a baseball player. This is what everybody else is looking at, and this is they're gonna game plan based on this spreadsheet that I've just done. You know what? My whole attempt might be, that's fine. I'm gonna disrupt the shit out of that data because I'm gonna make a different choice. And I'm just wondering how much that might go on. How much players are aware of what the analytics say about them, and I'm sure they are, but do they? Is that going to their game plan? From game to game, series to series, like, this is probably how somebody's going to approach me based on the data that I'm seeing, because everybody else has the same stuff. So, I know that was kind of a scrambled response there, but
no, it makes sense though. Like here, my response to that is as I'm sitting here, as I'm just kind of just leafing through this thing that Ben Cerruti sent me. It was an article that he wrote for Birds on the Black, just tremendous. I mean, it's great. Like I would recommend you check him out and everything he does. Interestingly enough, like this is the flip side of it then to your point. Like, so it isn't always, hey, they projected a guy to do this and he fell short. Well, what about a guy like Colton Wong? Right. It's the complete flip. Now this is what's interesting to me. I find this fascinating. Okay. Here's my thing. How in the world are you supposed to do when I read this? My question is like, when you see this, what's the rhyme or reason for it? Right. Like he had projected him to hit 258. With a 342 on base, 393 slug, which would have made him a 736 OPS. We all know that he blew those numbers away, right? He was a 285 hitter with a 361 on base percentage, a 423 slug, and was a 784 OPS. Here's the interesting thing. So you're sitting there going, and he even said in there, you know, he gives a little analysis of why he thinks whatever. Well, here's the thing. Obviously, I think we all felt like, and I'd love to ask Colton, did you really change your approach this year? Is that what it was? Because we all assume that's what it is, right? Because he looked like he had cut down his swing quite a bit. That's what it looked like to me. Now, there's a lot of things that look a certain way. It's funny. Somebody had tweeted out something last night about I think it was Zach Gifford, maybe somebody. No, maybe it was. About Marcell Ozuna, the reasoning he struggled was he all of a sudden, he's slicing the ball.
Yeah, that was Zach Gifford. And okay. You mentioned that. I'm in the middle of that article right now, right when you dialed me up. And he's another good one like Ben that can get me, maybe second-guessing my gut reaction on a player. So
well,
I give him a lot of credit, too.
The interesting thing is, as a guy that knows enough to be dangerous about hitting, I have my own opinion of Marcell Ozuna's swings from watching them in slow motion and things like that. And I think any hitting guy would tell you he does some things that are totally not good. And he is going to be like every other big, strong athlete. He's going to be able to just outperform the baseball sometimes. That's how I view Marcell Ozuna. Okay. The interesting, like to take it all the way with Colton Wong. So here's where I'm going with this. So you look at these numbers for Colton Wong and you're sitting there and you're going, holy cow, look at how he blew those numbers out of the water. And you're sitting there going, and I'm not kidding you. I think to a man, everybody out there would say, well, Colton Wong outperformed those numbers because he quit trying to hit home runs, right? Wouldn't you think so?
I don't doubt that it was definitely, to me, it felt like it was a change of approach. And I agree with you that I think just from what your eyes are seeing, like, yeah, he's swinging for the fence less. He's being more mindful in certain situations. But I do believe that there was a mechanical adjustment because they were showing, previous year, 2019, something with the leg kick was cut down a little bit more. He cut down on some motion at the plate. So I think it was, for him, what it looked like to me, it was part approach. The second would be there was a mechanical adjustment you could see in his leg kick. And there could have been something else too, but I do remember the leg kick as the one being highlighted.
Well, here's the interesting thing for this, and I find this fascinating. Had him projected for a 14.6 K rate, which, again, would make you say, okay, if he's going to strike out 14.6% of the time, I get the 258 mm-hmm. projection on the hitting. I get the 342 on the batting, on the on base, because he does walk too. But he actually struck out 15% of the time. So he actually struck out more than he thought, not by a ton, right? But it wasn't like but it wasn't like he made all these adjustments and he blew away his numbers. And the reason was instead of striking out 14.6% of the time, he struck out 10% of the time. It was actually the other way around.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm trying to tell people. Like, striking out all the time doesn't equate to trying to hit home runs. It's not that simple. And what's funny is the Marcell Ozuna thing, I sent, I consider myself to know enough. I'm not as good as the professionals. And I sent that thing to somebody because people start to, and he goes, it's not that simple. It's not even remotely close to being that simple. He's like, I would have to analyze hundreds of his swings before I could give you a definitive answer why he's slicing the ball. It could be so many things. So many things. But it isn't as simple as this or that. And because like when we teach, if a guy is slicing the ball, he's typically casting his hands early. Now that's a young hitter who activates his barrel too soon and then it winds up tipping, and we call that carving. Okay? Marcell Ozuna is a strong man, right? Like, I'll give you an example. Acuña does it. Acuña does a really weird thing with his hands where he doesn't really scat for him. He kind of takes him back but he's able to get the bat back in position. These guys are freaks of nature, and they do all kinds of things that you would quote-unquote look at and go, I'm not quite sure I would teach that, right?
Right.
So it's the weirdest thing to see this stuff and go, how do you come up with a projection? How do you come up with it? You know, I think it's fascinating, and I'm going to have Ben on our show one of these days and ask him, because I think it's fascinating.
Yeah, I've actually had him on one of the old podcasts I did. Good guy, and I don't know if you'll get him. I think he's a teacher, so it might be tough to get him during the day. But I've talked to Ben before. But you know what's interesting? You get that. You know, how do you get a projection? Well, you get a projection using the only thing you're left with, and that is numbers. It's contact rate, hard contact. It's just that's the only thing you have to go off of, and so you try to put together a model based on that information. But there's no variable you can plug in there that goes, hey, a guy changed his mind, is going to do it different. I mean, there's nothing for that. So it is, Jim, at some point in time, there's going to be a marriage between, the old school instinct, gut feel, and I believe there is a place for the numbers. It's just they haven't, baseball will find the balance between these two things, because I do believe that both are important. Look, you can inundate a player with all this information. You do need people to help them simplify it, at least some, not all. But some need it simplified to them. You need to boil it down. And so there's got to be a marriage between the two things. That's why I don't turn my back on the numbers. I don't turn my back on analytics, but I do lean on others that understand that stuff, or at least put it this way. I have a day job. I have a busy life. I have three young kids at home. I don't have time to analyze this stuff. So I do lean on guys like Ben, like Zach, and then some of the other professionals that are out there that break the stuff down for us. All but Brian Kenny, that guy annoys me for some reason. But the marriage will happen at some point in time. We'll get kind of, I think, common sense will prevail. And you pointed out a couple of people that are out of job, and I know there's widespread throughout baseball that going into the era of the numbers, some of the old school guys are, they're left kind of without a home, and so. But I do believe we'll come back around. This feels like not a fad. I believe the numbers will always be there, but I don't know. I feel like this is a trend that will die at some point in time, and they'll be married between the two.
Yeah, like I said, I've witnessed and been a part of using these things for training purposes to help people get better. The stuff that I've seen that would blow you away, force plates to learn how to use ground force, and I'm going to tell you right now, the new thing right now is backspin overrated? What is truly going on with spin? What are you trying to do? There's this quant tee, there's this K-vest where these guys wear stuff and it tells you. I mean, you can't lie. Like, you can't lie. Like, your eyes sometimes can fool you. Once you can rewatch somebody based on how their movement patterns are, it doesn't lie. It'll tell you everything you need to know. And people that think a guy's hips are opening too early or they're not helping, I mean, you can't get away from the video of it. You just can't. And the tracking of it that's able to be done now with the technology, it's amazing. So I just find this stuff fascinating. Fascinating.
And I can't even imagine. I think the most technology that I ever used when I played, and I played some college ball. I did play some military and, three or four travel teams over the summer. But let me tell you a little something about how good of a hitter I was. I was a switch hitter, and I barely ever batted right-handed because there just weren't as many lefties you're facing. The wooden bat tournament in Kansas City, this lefty was throwing. He was throwing in the low 90s. At that time, you'd never seen it. So here I am batting right-handed, which I hardly did. I couldn't even see the ball. He was throwing so hard. I swung at a pitch out because I just made up my mind I was swinging because I couldn't see the damn thing. I swung and missed at a pitch out. That's how fantastic I was at pitch recognition or anything like that. So if that gives you a little bit of insight to my history. It crossed over the left-handed, outside portion of the left-handed batter's box, and I'm standing on the right side. So there you go.
There's
my insight.
It is interesting that I've said that one of the things, and again, it's just an opinion. I don't like if you look at it, one of the things that I think really sets certain people apart from others, just by watching at bats, I don't have any other thing to go on. The great hitters seem to be able to recognize the slider earlier than average hitters. It just seems that way to me. Like, I've watched some great at bats by great, at, you know, and it is amazing how one of the things that I've noticed that really started a couple years ago, and I mean, it was a focal point down there this year, was, you know, pitch recognition. There's all kinds of things out there now for these, for the young people, high school age, travel, you know, program, all this kind of stuff, high school, college, pros, using something, I believe it's called Game Sense. Game Sense is the big one I think a lot of people are involved in, to where you really, it's training on for your eyes to be able to recognize stuff. And I mean, there's a thousand different things that they do for it, but it is amazing to me what we're doing now. And in the end, don't ever forget this, and this is the one thing I always take away from this every year. Never forget that no matter what we do or what we say, some of these guys are just big, strong athletes, and there is no rhyme or reason for why they're great. They just are.
Mm-hmm.
They just are. So, all right, let's move on to your poll, because I think it was it was a really neat poll, and we can talk about it a little bit here before we go. Oh, but before we do go, let me thank our good friends at Patterson Tire and Service, a whole lot more than a tire store. Give them a call for a quick quote at 618-797-6711. You know, they just beat the other guy, you know, a lot more times than they don't. They're there to help you out. 3718 Highway 111, Granite City, Illinois. They've been in that community for a very, very long time. I've known the family 40 years. I'm telling you guys, the great people that have been involved in their community for a long time. You don't stick around that long if you're not honest and take care of the people around you. That's Patterson Tire and Service, a whole lot more than a tire store. All right, let's get to your poll question here, because I'm interested in hearing some stuff about it, because I do love this sort of thing, because somebody had replied back to you, not complaining. He was stating a fact, and he's 100% right, because I'm one of those guys. So it's interesting.
Yeah,
so go ahead.
I know which one you're talking about. So now that 2019's over, we've been through two decades now into this millennia, and I wanted to look back from 2000 to 2019 and ask the fans, hey, what was your favorite team? You know, and go by year, right? What was your favorite team that you just enjoyed watching? I threw out four, but I opened out, hey, anybody wanted to comment on a different one, certainly welcome to. I'm curious to know. So I picked the World Series team, 2004, 06, 11, and 13. We all know that they won in 06 and 2011. So I was curious what the fans thought. So a majority, almost overwhelming majority, 60% chose the 2011 team, followed by my personal favorite, who I voted for, was the 2004 team. The comment you were pointing to, I believe, Jim, was this comes from Cardinal Connoisseur at KY Cat STL Cards, replied, people are voting for the 2011 team. I get it, but people have probably forgotten that team was miserably frustrating all season long until the playoffs. 2004 was a blast the entire year until the World Series. Go ahead, Jim, because I believe this is the one you were mentioning.
Yeah, I did it. I did exactly what he said. I mean, when you start putting those things in front of me, I can promise you that the first thing I'm going to do is remember Game 6 if any time there's 2011, right? Now, in hindsight, looking back at what you just said, and it's funny, when you and I got on the air today, I had said, hey, I want to pull up those four rosters. And I'm sitting there going, and you were like, well, Jim, it's basically we were either in the World Series or won the World Series since 2000. And I'm like, wait a minute. You know, we've been in four World Series in those in that time span.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. And we've had some really good teams.
Right.
You know, does that mean it's not that we're not allowed to be pissed off? No, we are. We can be whatever we want to be. But when I did it and looking at the rosters, this gentleman is exactly correct. There's no doubt that the 2004 team was loaded. And what a damn shame. What a damn shame that team.
Oh, I know.
That ran into the buzzsaw that was the Red Sox. Just amazing.
It was a fun team to watch too, Jim. I mean, you know, one of my I mean, gosh, I mean, I had so many players I loved on that team. I'm a huge Jim Edmonds fan. I always been. But a player I enjoyed watching both on and off the field was Reggie Sanders. And I didn't think much of it when they signed him. I think they signed him for a two-year deal, 04, 05. He's kind of a journeyman. But he had been part of some winning teams. You know, he was on the 2001 Diamondbacks championship team. You know, and I believe he was with them in 2000, prior to that, too. But, you know, he was just a fun player to have around. And it's just guys like him. You know, the acquisition of Larry Walker in 04, I thought was amazing. I always get a kick out of seeing these guys that were really, really good players end up in a Cardinals uniform for a playoff push. It, just a fun team. I love the chemistry of the pitching staff with Woody Williams. I forget his name already. Matt Morris, you know, Chris Carpenter joined him. Is a free agent, and you know that was his first year, I believe, that he was actually in the rotation. 03, he joined before 03, but he was injured. I just enjoyed watching. That was the most fun I've had going to a ballpark. Just looking, just being in awe of the names on the back of those jerseys. You know, Rowland, Renteria, Tony Womack, Albert Pujols. Mike Matheny was still catching, but you know that's the year Yachty broke in.
Said Tony Womack. That's the one I was just getting ready to bring up. I mean, Tony Womack hit 307. For the St. Louis Cardinals that year. I mean, Jesus. I mean, I want you to think about this. I want you to think about the team we have now, and I'm going to read you some things. Albert Pujols, 331. Edgar Renteria, 287. Jim Edmonds, 301. Tony Womack, 307. Scott Rowland, 314. Reggie Sanders, 260. Mike Matheny, 247. John Mabry, 296. He's obviously a part-time player. Now we're getting into the part-time players. Marlon Anderson, remember, he had some moments.
Oh, yeah.
237.
Yeah, he did.
Ray Langford, yep. 255. Man, Roger Cedeno, So Taguchi, Larry Walker. You're right, that's when Yachty started getting his bones. Just an amazing, amazing thing.
But, Jim, batting average is icky.
Yeah. Sure is.
I mean, you know, we're in awe of a guy just getting 290 or 300 these days. But, I mean, you just looking at the stats you're staring at right now, how do you say that that's not some fun stuff to watch?
That team hit 278. Yeah, what do teams hit? 250?
Nobody cares now. Nobody talks about it.
Yeah.
They talk about all the other stuff.
That team hit 278.
Yeah.
2006, they hit 268. 2011, 273. 2014, 253 as a team. Interesting. So, I went with 2011. I should have went with 2004.
That's all right. I mean, no, we can certainly understand. You know what, though? It's kind of like if you look at 2006, right? I thought that 2006 was my least favorite team to watch. They just weren't playing good baseball that year. But, you know, you get to the playoffs and guys that weren't healthy are healthy. You had a few acquisitions there that didn't think much of or didn't think you'd get much from them, like Jeff Weaver, Preston Wilson, Ronnie Belliard. And wow, all of a sudden, you know, you got a healthy Jim Edmonds in center field in 2006. And he had been hurt. I don't think he had a pretty tough year in 2006. But, you know, at the end of the year for the playoff push, you know, fantastic. 2011, you know, the Cardinals did something to shake up the team. And it didn't work immediately, but by the time we got to late August, it started clicking. And so there was a lot of fun watching. Again, Rafael Furcal, another, you know, a veteran player who had been on some great teams. You know, they got him from the Dodgers. And, you know, he came in and contributed. It was fun watching guys like that in a Cardinal uniform for a playoff run like that. But, yeah, 2004, nothing beats that for me. First World Series I ever attended, of course. They win a game, but what a fun group to watch.
2004, Albert Pujols hit 331 with a 415 on base percentage, a 657 slugging. He was a 1.072 OPS. Jim Edmonds had an OPS of 1.06. Scott Rowland was 1.007. We had three guys.
Yeah.
Over one.
That's MV3, right?
Three guys on the same team with an OPS over one.
Next week's poll question. Will we ever see this again in baseball?
Shoot, will we have a guy on our team that has one over one? Just one guy.
Yeah, I know.
It's amazing. You know, the 2014 team was an interesting group.
Yeah.
Matt Carpenter kind of, you know, I started making his bones a little bit as an on-base guy. You had Matt Holliday, who had a nice season. Johnny Peralta. Interesting. That was an interesting team.
It was. Yeah, you still felt like, I guess you had, Matt Holliday thumping in the middle of the lineup.
Thumping, 20 home runs. Thumping.
Well.
Johnny Peralta led the team that year with 21 homers. You believe that one?
Oh, gosh. Well, I might have been thinking 2013. One of those years, the Cardinals had a ridiculous batting average when I was in scoring position. I think I might be thinking about 2013.
It was. It was the year Benji was the assistant hitting coach.
There you go. And Carlos Beltran was on that team too. So I mean, that those youngsters and with a mix of those bats from 2012 to 2014. And really, you can probably stretch that into 2015. Those were also some exciting teams to watch. But still, the first place prize goes to that 2014. And I know they didn't win it all, but.
Interesting group, for sure.
Yep.
Interesting group. I don't know. This is kind of fun. Like I said, I could spend as much time talking about this stuff as I could. The lack of what the Cardinals did. But, seriously, when you do that, though, and you look back and you start saying those names, like I said, you're looking at this and it's like, Pujols, Roland, Edmonds. Keep going and going and going. It's like, oh, my God. Preston Wilson.
Well, you know what this does, and hopefully some other people took this away from it, too. You look at 2000 through 2019, we had a pretty fantastic run of baseball to start this millennium out as Cardinal fans. And so I appreciate that. It makes me reflect on it a bit more that, all the credit in the world to the fan base and definitely the ownership. I know that people have their issues with the organization right now because they don't appear to be doing much. But I think we do need to reflect on the DeWitt era and go, wow, that's some pretty good baseball that they've, they've put out in the field for us to enjoy. And we certainly have played our part in supporting and fueling that. So,
let's finish with this. Okay.
Okay.
Let's take it full circle. Okay. We're unhappy with our offseason, right? We want them to do this. We want them to do that. We want to win 100 games, whatever. So in 2004, the St. Louis Cardinals won 105 games and lost the World Series. In 2006, the St. Louis Cardinals won 83 games and won the World Series. In 2011, the Cardinals won 90 games and won the World Series. In 2014, they won 90 games and lost the World Series. So, yep. We don't like to say it, but just get in, baby.
Yeah.
But when you're unhappy, you're going to reach for stuff like we all did last year. Yeah, we got in. Yep, we got in. We won the division. Hadn't been in the playoffs. Wild card's not good enough. We won the division. Yep, we got in. Okay, we won a series, and then we go to the Final Four, and instead of it being, we made it to the Final Four, we never even had a chance. Like, it wasn't even close because we got swept. Right? Like, it wasn't even close. Like, we're competing in different leagues here, It's interesting. Mm-hmm. I find the whole thing fascinating. I don't know. Fun stuff, though. Good poll question. You always get some good ones, man.
Oh, once in a while.
I'm telling you, like, next year, the ABCA is in Washington, D.C. People know I don't fly, so that'll be an interesting trip for me. I guess I'll have to take a train.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, I don't fly. So, like, last year when it was in Dallas, I had to. The only one I've missed in a long time is it was in Anaheim, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, and I didn't go.
Yeah, you probably don't want to make that drive.
No. I took a train to Dallas 2 years ago. It was in, like, Indy the year before that, Nashville, whatever. But and it was mixed in there with Anaheim. But like next year, I'll take a train out to Washington. I'm telling you, it's like if you really are ate up with it, you could learn so much out there. Like, and you know, working now in a program where I'm working with, you know, kids again, high school kids, younger kids, you know, whatever. It's just an amazing thing. Like, it's amazing. Like, you would enjoy it. Like, a lot of people would really enjoy it. They really would, you know, seeing what's really going on. It's fascinating, fascinating stuff. But you do, you always come up with good questions, man. This is good stuff. Like I said, we need something to take our mind off our inactivity. Although, and I know this is one of your favorite things, we had a little Mo-speak this week. I believe yesterday he was somewhere and said that he thinks the market's going to shake, is going to cut loose a little bit here this week.
Okay.
I thought he said cut loose or cut something with a C, I thought.
Of course, right? C is probably the grade I'd give him.
C is for cookie, which is good enough for me.
Yeah.
Hey, before we go and I go through everything, first off, no doubt, a special shout out to Ben Cerruti. You know, sometimes you talk about people's stuff and you sit here and go, do they really want me talking about their stuff? You know, he puts it out there and he owns it, good or bad. And like I said, we can debate the result all day long, but the stuff and the content is fantastic. So special thanks to him and for him to be able to send me what I needed right away today so we could discuss it on the show. Looks like I did hear back from him already. You are correct. He is a teacher. I'm going to schedule him for the week of March 16th because I'm assuming that'd be spring break. So I'm going to have him on, and I'm looking forward to learning a little bit about how he does with us. But thank you to him for being so accommodating. So just wanted to say that. For all of our partners, of course, we come to you from the Patio Studios, original party place for St. Louis Cardinal fans everywhere. To our good friend Randy and his daughter Stephanie Green, InnovativeCompanies.com, residential, commercial, industrial, it's the name you know and trust, that's InnovativeCompanies.com, DrKristenJacobs.com, remember, take care of your skin, Everyday Skin Cancer Awareness Day, check out Ooh La La Spa Anti-Aging Wellness Center, DrKristenJacobs.com. To our good friends at the Gators Baseball Academy, it's the off season. They are implementing some of this great stuff that we learned down at the trade show there and with some of the great instructors. Get over there and get to work. It's time. It's the off season. That's GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. Of course, we thank Adam Smokehouse, Best Barbecue in St. Louis. You want to get your grub on? We'll get going. That's our it's over there on Watson Road. Our good friend Mike and his staff do a tremendous job, open till 7 on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays. Big box lunch orders, of course, caterings, you know, they specialize in that as well. Don't forget to find out if they deliver to you, but you definitely want to get over there and check out the atmosphere. That's Adam Smokehouse, St. Louis. Here's your cue. And, of course, our good friends at Patterson Tire and Service, a whole lot more than a tire store. They sponsor our text line. Give them a call at after you text us on our text line, which you always see on social media, give them a call at 618-797-6711, or you can stop by at 3718 Highway 111 in Granite City, Illinois. Have them check out your car. Like I said, you know, tires, you want to be safe. Make sure the tires are working properly. Make sure the brakes are – got to have tires and brakes. And then if the car starts running not so good, they are your name as well. They specialize in automotive repair. That's why we say it's Patterson Tire and Service, a whole lot more than a tire store. Make sure you check us out at twobirdsonabat.com. Subscribe to the show. Find us on Twitter, at Birds on a Bat Show. Facebook as well, Two Birds on a Bat Show. Instagram, Two Birds on a Bat Show. And, of course, as part of Lineup Media Group. FM, home of your radio streaming platform for your mobile device. For my good friend Ron Nuttall, I'm Jim Cromer. This is Ruffled Feathers. Let's go, Birds!
This podcast was a presentation of lightupmedia.fm.